All right. Well, I keep thinking I'm going to preach on something else, and then I don't preach on something else. So we're just going with the goodness of God. You know, I have different titles every week, but it's pretty much the same thing every week. God is good. But I feel like this needs to be pounded in to myself because I go through things and I experience things that the world makes you want to doubt who God is. The world makes you want to doubt what's going on in the world, what's being said in the world. It really makes you want to doubt and lose focus on who God is and what God has for us and what he wants us to accomplish. I don't care how bad it is, as Christians, we are called to do something. Regardless of how do I say this? You were born for this time. You were born for this time, so what in this time is God calling you to do? It wasn't some other time. You're here now, right? You didn't live back then, be reincarnated to now. That's not what happened. God has you here now. So what is it now that he has for you? What is it now that we're supposed to be accomplishing individually and as a whole? Right? We have the St. Croix River Valley that we want to reach. All right, what's God telling us to do in that? And then individually, what is God telling us to do in that? God was not telling me to sit on my couch and do nothing for all those years. Just wasn't. I had to get up and I had to do something. And when I got up and when I started doing something, I found purpose. Go figure. It's amazing how that happens. It's amazing how when you start applying yourself and pushing forward in God and through God and with God, what is revealed, what you see, the path that's laid out before you. I can't say I was super initially pumped up about the path that was laid before me because I didn't understand the path that was laid before me because I was so far away from being a pastor that the thought of being a pastor didn't sit well within me because I was not a good person. I sinned and I continued to sin and I continued to do all these terrible things that nobody knew about. But, when God starts revealing things to you, don't let being overwhelmed keep you from walking in his grace and his mercy and his strength, because that's how any of us are able to walk this out, is in him. I can't do this in myself. In myself, in the person I used to be, in the person I used to know, man, you've heard it, I could be in the backwoods somewhere, just ready to go. I could just disappear and not have to worry about people. Not have to worry about responsibility. Like, man, I could do that. My flesh could do that. My flesh could absolutely do that, but my spirit, as it continues to grow in God, shows me love for people. And if I disappear, I can't show other people love. Right? If I disappear, I can't bring other people to his goodness, to his mercy, to his grace. I can't do that. Somebody told me a pretty good story recently. There was I think he was a monk or something like that, and he was going to dedicate himself to solitude and just seeking the Lord. And so he went out way somewhere, but it was amazing. People kept finding him, and people kept asking him questions, and people kept searching him out. Because it's not our plan, right? It's his plan. And I can fight it, and I can fight it, and I can fight it, but I'm not going to be blessed if I continue to fight it. So, that had nothing to do with what I'm going to preach on, but hey, we'll go with it. It sounded good. All right. So goodness of God, right? So just to give some context, we're going to be in Psalms. I'm going to continue in Psalms until God tells me to stop being in Psalms. So Psalms 34, 1 through 10. Going to get some good scripture today. But to give some context here, this is a Psalm of David. And this Psalm was written when he was running from Saul. So Saul made up his mind that he was an enemy. Jonathan told him so with the arrows and said, "You better get out of here. My father is going to kill you if he can." So David goes from being anointed king to being on the run. And he visits Ahimelech, gives him some bread, gives him Goliath's sword, and away he goes. And he ends up with the Philistines, right? His enemy. Saul has slain his thousands. David has slain his 10,000s. I guarantee most of those 10,000s were Philistines. So he had a bit of a reputation, right? And they even said it. When he showed up, Achish, his servants came to him and said, "This is David. This is David who they sing about. This is David who's killed thousands and thousands and thousands of our people." And it says fear took over David because he knew they knew him, right? So that he wasn't going to just go hide here. He was exposed. They knew who he was. And so what did he do? He acted crazy. He scratched at the gate, let the drool come down his chin, and he acted crazy, I think, for a couple years, I want to say. And you can find this all in Samuel 21 if you want to look it up later. But, I mean, just think of this moment. So you go from being anointed king. Things are going well in the kingdom. You're the king's right-hand man. And then everything turns. You're on the run. He's trying to kill you. You have nothing. And you have to go to your enemy for help. But you don't really get help. You just act crazy enough that they don't kill you. I mean, that's a turn of events. There's big emotional swings going on there, right? I guarantee there's thought going into this as to what is happening. What is going on with my life? Lord, you said, you anointed me king, and now I'm on the run for my life. So, Psalm 34, pick it up in verse 1. It says, "I will bless the Lord at all times." Bam. You could probably stop right there, but it gets better. Think about it. Like, take the situation and the first words out of his mouth, "I will bless the Lord at all times." His praise will continually be in my mouth. My soul makes its boast in the Lord. Let the humble hear and be glad. There's nothing in me worth boasting about. The only thing in my life worth boasting about is what has God done in it. What has God done to my life? What has God done through my life? What is God doing in my family? That's the boast, and that's the boast that David is talking about here. Regardless of being run down, regardless of a bounty being on his head, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise will continually be in my mouth. Verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me." So now he's appealing to everybody. "Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name forever." So we have three verses here, right off the bat, of just praise. Praise. Regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstances, regardless of how I feel, I guarantee in the beginning here, David didn't really feel like praising. I feel like sitting down and moping. I feel like sitting down and doing nothing. I feel like I got to sit down and figure out a new plan. Because God, the plan you gave me isn't working. They're trying to kill me. I have to act insane just to keep my life with my enemy. But that's not what's written here. It says, I will bless the Lord at all times. And that's the one thing about David. You read through the Psalms and you just read his life. Was he perfect? Absolutely not. But he was a man after God's heart. And that made up for a lot of things. He had a relationship with God that very few in the Old Testament ever had. But I guarantee through the prophets and everybody else desired to have. David should have been killed multiple times just for violating the law. But he wasn't. I can't tell you exactly why, but I know God, his hand was on him. And there was such a relationship there, and I hope we see this as we're reading this, that it's this relationship. It's relationship with God. It's relationship that brings us through these things. That carries us through this. That carries us through and makes us stronger. We can be stronger on the other side of a trial. You don't have to go through a trial and be so beaten down that you can barely take a step. You don't have to. You can choose to, or you can choose to continually build yourself up in the Lord. Praise the Lord continually for what he's doing. He's carrying you through. Yes, there's bad things going on around you, but he's with you and he's carrying you through. Praise him. Praise him. That's where that strength is coming from, is through praise. You know, and where, and I'm talking to myself here. Where is praise on the priority list? And like I said, I'm very good. I enjoy speaking in tongues. I spend a lot of time doing that. Praying's great. But just sitting down and praising God, I'm not at the pinnacle yet of that. I have room because it involves opening my mouth and speaking. It involves risking people looking at me and going, what is wrong with him? I mean, you've seen those people drive by you in the car and they know the song that they're listening to and they are singing their hearts out to whatever song is playing in that. They are dancing, they are doing whatever they do. It's comical. But I think, well, what could I maybe learn from that? Because they don't care. Whatever they're listening to at that moment is moving them. It's moving them to sing at the top of their lungs. You know, they're driving, so they're just kind of shuffling around. But I guarantee they'd be dancing. What moves us? What moves myself? My goal is to let praise be that motivator. And like I said, I'm not there. But I know that when I've sought out praise, when I've just taken the time to praise, it's amazing how a bad day can turn around. You know, I got to force it out at times. But man, once that motor gets going, it's good stuff. It's good stuff. Verse 4, I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all of my fears. So David did something. He sought. I'm going to continue to say it. This relationship is about action. It's about action. It's about doing something, not in the sense that if I do this, God will be happy with me. Not in that Old Testament law kind of sense. But seek and you will find. All right, there's an action. Knock and the door will be open to you. If you're standing at my front door and you want to hang out with me and you want to spend some time with the family, but you never knock on the door, what am I supposed to do? This is before ring cams and all those other things. Pretend like nobody has ring cams anymore. But what am I supposed to do? I don't know you're there. I'm just going to go about my day. Seek and you will find. And it's not that God's not there. But when I seek him, that's where the revelation comes. I don't want to make this into a must have to. If you don't do it, you're not blessed. If you don't, you know, like this is not that. But this is just a heart attitude of, Lord, I'm growing in this and I'm just going to continue to seek this. I'm going to continue, and we'll get there, to challenge. Do you know we can challenge the Lord? Lord, I don't understand. Help me. Show me. Show me. Right? But he answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. Verse 5. Those who look at him are radiant. And I believe it's in that praise that this radiance comes out of us. It's in that, it's like taking a little dim light and comparing it to the sun. You may start out as a little dim light, but in that praise, in that relationship with him, you will exude Christ. People will look at you and say, there's something different. Maybe some of you have experienced it, maybe not. But continue to seek. Continue to praise. Continue to let him fill you up to overflowing until you can't contain it anymore, and then it just, blah. It's good stuff. This is what's available to us if we choose. Thankfulness, man, that's a good one. I don't have everything I need, though, God. I don't have everything I want. I'm pretty sure you have everything you need, especially in this country. I may lack things I want, but it doesn't mean I lack the things I need. There's a difference there. And it doesn't mean that God doesn't want you to bless, wants to bless you with the things you want. But praise him for the things that you have, the things he's providing you for. Thank him that he is faithful, that overall, comparatively to other nations, countries, we live a very good life here. If you've never gone on a mission trip to like a third world country or something, I encourage you to go. The Marine Corps opened my eyes, and I did some mission trips when I was younger, but man, the Marine Corps opened my eyes to a lot of things. I mean, we're unbelievably blessed here. I just don't think we can comprehend how blessed. You can't comprehend it if you haven't experienced the other end of it. I mean, shoot, go across the border down to Mexico. And I'm not talking about an all-inclusive resort. Go experience that kind of thing. I had a friend ask me sometime, he wasn't a Christian, but he asked me, how do I get it across to my kids like that this isn't just it? Like the amazing lives that they're living isn't just it. Like how do they comprehend what else? And I told them, send them on a mission trip. Because you will see things, you will experience things, your heart will change. And you will come back here. Man, when we would come back from overseas, you're gone for 10 months, 6 months at a time. You so take for granted what we have here. And we would come back from overseas and just literally want to kiss the ground. Thank God we're back. And even if it has to be on a military base, thank God we were back. Because it just, there's just nowhere else like this. Verse 7. The angel of the Lord. So when the Bible refers to the angel of the Lord, it's referring to Jesus. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him. And this isn't fear of retribution. This is reverence. This is respect. That's why it's so important to look up words. Get a Strong's. Get a Briggs, whatever it is. It's so important to know what these words mean because there's multiple meanings, especially in the Hebrew and Greek, to a lot of these words. And we can attribute things, and this is, we can attribute things to God that aren't from God. And then we go down bad roads, and then we go down bad roads of doctrine. This is talking about respect. This is talking about reverence for who he is. But the angel of the Lord will encamp around those who fear him and delivers them. Just promise, promise, promise. Promise. David understood this stuff. David got this stuff because David sought out what else God had for him. He didn't get that initial revelation and then just stop. He sought after God. He sought after God. He went after God with a purpose. And we can see he's still messed up. But he repented and he went back after God. He continued to seek God. Verse 8, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in him." It's up to us to take refuge in him. It's like that shelter. It can be hailing outside and I have a shelter 20 feet away. But if I just stand there, run to your source. Go to your source. Go to what brings wisdom, what brings knowledge, what brings understanding. Go to what brings strength. Go to what brings anything you need right now in this life. Go to it. Seek it. Go after it. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints, for those who fear him have no lack. Verse 10, the young lions suffer wanton hunger, but those who seek the Lord lack no good thing. That's another amazing promise. And like I said, I don't want to make this into some law thing. Because whether you do this or not, God loves you. He loves you. He knows what's best for you. He knows the road you should be on. But even in our ignorance, God loves us. Even in my denial, God loved me. Even when I pushed him away, he loved me. Because when I pushed him away, the Holy Spirit never stopped talking to me. I didn't want to hear it. But he never stopped talking to me. Like, I can remember these moments where I knew. Like, I wasn't dumb. I was raised well. Like, I was raised to know God, to fear God. And I was doing stupid things. And in my heart, the Spirit said, "This is stupid." That's how he talks to me. "This is stupid. Why are you doing this?" And I would go, click. Because I thought in doing this, I would find some relief. Well, this just felt good, so I'll just continue to do this for the moment. And then it doesn't feel good anymore, and then you're depressed, and then you're walking in anxiety and stress. Well, how do I fix this? And there's the Holy Spirit. Well, I'm here. Click. Man, I was dumb. It's okay though, I've learned. And I pray that I can keep people from making dumb decisions because of my testimony and because of what God has done in me. But unfortunately, we're so apt to learn things the hard way. I don't know what that is. I'm sure some psychologist could explain it. But we're so apt to just go down these roads that are going to cause us harm. Most of the time we can see, I can see that this is going to cause me harm, but let's try it anyways. Let's go. Let's see what happens. You know what? I know this caused other people harm, but I can figure this out. It won't cause me harm. I know nobody's come through this unscathed, but I'll be the first. Trust me, I'll be the first. Man, it's just so silly. That's my nice way of saying it. It's just so stupid. Why are we so opposed to learning from others? Why are we so opposed to going to the scriptures and reading stuff like this and saying, you know what, I don't have to go down that road. I can just trust in God. I can just seek him out and he's going to lead and he's going to guide me. But no. I got this. And when we stumble and when we fall, God, where were you? What happened there? What happened there, God? I guess your word doesn't work. I've heard it. We'll get there. So what I want to focus on real quickly is verse 8. Verse 8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." And when I read that verse, it sprung out to me like, that's a challenge. That's a challenge. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Because taste is an action. Tasting something is an action. It requires doing something. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. And within myself, I heard, try it and see what happens. You know, it was like the Holy Spirit was just daring me. Because I've experienced good things and I've experienced growth, but that doesn't have to be the end. I don't have to stop where I am now, cease all growth, and just be satisfied. I can be satisfied with where I am right now, but I can also desire to grow more in him, in his knowledge, in what he has for me. Taste and see. I dare you. I dare you to go all out for God. And that can mean something different for each and every one of us, right? I don't know what it means for you. I know what it means for me. What it means for me is stop putting limitations. Okay, I got here. Here is good enough. Here is fine. I'm super blessed here. But I had a prophecy spoken over me when I was in high school. And it was, the sky is not the limit. You know, because you see all those motivational plaques that say, the sky is the limit. People hanging on their walls, on their fridges. But he spoke over me, the sky is not the limit, and I didn't understand it at the time, but as I've grown and gone through life, I do understand it, because I was so good at limiting God in his ability to try and show me more. Because I saw myself as nothing. So how could God want to use nothing? Well, good Lord, God turns nothing into something. Right? If I knew what the word said about me, and if I knew my covenant with him, man, there would have been just some better things there. But there wasn't. But that's okay, because I understand it now, and so the sky is not the limit. It's not. It's not the limit. Because spirituality transcends the sky. Spirituality is so much bigger than any of us can even comprehend. There's no limits spiritually with what God can do with you. There's none. The only limit is us. The only limit was me, because I would shut him off. Because I wanted to learn things the hard way. I had plenty of people telling me, you should stop that. That's not healthy. Maybe for you it's not. Yep. You know, the old triple dog dare you. The old schoolyard, I dare you. You know, we've all been there. And then it escalates. I dog dare you. Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah? And you're staring each other down. And why triple dog dare you? Snap, it got real. It got real. And how many dumb things did I do as a child because somebody dared me? lots of dumb things. But Strong's for taste. So taste, to taste. We all know what it means to taste something, right? But there's another aspect to it. It's to perceive, to know, to recognize, to see, discern, to have knowledge of. I like this one, to discover. Go on a journey and discover who God is. I dare you. Go on a journey and taste, truly taste who God is. Because when you go on that journey, you will have knowledge. You will have wisdom. You will understand, have understanding, because you cannot spend time with God and not grow. It's impossible to truly spend time with God. You will grow, and you won't even understand, you won't even recognize sometimes that it's happening. But you will grow. And once again, I love it. It just sounds like relationship, man. When God gave me the revelation of relationship, it changed so much for me. It changed the scriptures for me. It changed what I was reading. Because I finally saw relationship with God. I finally saw that he desired relationship and not just to smush me down and press me down and just all these terrible preconceived ideas of who he was. Webster's for taste says, to ascertain the flavor of something by taking a little bit into the mouth, right? So we know what tasting something means. But then it's also to become acquainted with by experience. Weird. Spending time with somebody. What a concept. To have perception, experience, or enjoyment. The distinctive quality of an experience. And here's where we run into problems. Is all too often we associate things, bad things, with God. And when we start associating those bad things with God, it changes our perspective of who God is. And when we lose true perspective of who God is, we lose relationship. Because then it becomes merit-based. Or then it just becomes stagnant. Because I don't want to pursue God, because how do I know he's not going to do some bad thing to me? Right? You know, what? How many times have you walked away from experience and you say, that put a bad taste in my mouth? And we're not talking about food here. An interaction with somebody that you had really high expectations for, maybe somebody you thought was a mentor of yours, and you had an experience with them and you walked away and you went, ugh, that's not what I expected. Right? And in those moments, all too often we can attribute to that stuff to God. So like phrases like, God willing. I hate that phrase. If you say it, I'm sorry. But I hate it. Because if you know your covenant and you know the word, you'll know whether or not he's willing. You'll know it. I don't have to say God willing in the area of blessing. Well, I just pray that God bless. God willing, he's going to bless my family. Well, no, that's not what that means. No. You're instantly infusing doubt into your confession. Your hope may be for something good, but by the words you said, you instantly just canceled it out. Because you just don't know God. I'm sorry, some things are hard to hear. I've heard a lot of hard things in my life, but it changed my life. You know, that's just the way it is. It's just the way it is. Another one. The Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Old Job. Spoken by a man who perceived God in the wrong way. And we know he perceived God in the wrong way by the way he spoke of God with his friends. I was faithful. Right? It wasn't Job's fault. It was God's fault. And if you really want to read something amazing, go to the end of the chapter and read God's rebuke of him. Job was saying this out of hurt in his heart. That's not a biblical principle. That was just something Job said. Because the Lord gives. The Lord gives because he's good. Because he's good. Anytime something was taken away is because I let it be taken from me. Because, of course, there is an enemy, right? We have an enemy that doesn't want us to succeed. But gosh, we'll attribute all those bad things to God instead of the enemy, and then we have nothing to fight the enemy with because I've already pushed God out of the picture. So then the enemy just gets to keep pounding and pounding and pounding and pounding and just filling you with doubt of who God is. It's so important to know the word, to know our covenant, so that when these opportunities come or when these situations come, I can say, no, that is not of the Lord. And then we speak to it, and then we fight back. Fight back with the word of God. Fight back with the Holy Spirit. Do something instead of just getting kicked around. Do something. Claim the word over yourself. Speak the word over yourself. Do something. Do something. If you were a good God. Right there. Or if you really loved me. If. You know, we have in our insurance system the phrase acts of God. And what are all those acts referring to? Terrible things that happen to people. Well, that hurricane was just, well, we consider that an act of God. That tornado, that was just an act of God. Whatever. An act of God, maybe that's just the earth travailing. Because it's no longer right with God, just like we're no longer right with God. Because creation yearns for his return as well. It's not just us. So why do we attribute these terrible things to God and then expect to get some great revelation out of it? And expect God to work in our lives because we've just totally pushed him aside because the Lord works in mysterious ways. I should have wrote that one down. With the new covenant, it's no longer mysterious. It's been revealed. It's been revealed. It's there. What are we doing with it? What am I doing with it? Because I still have my moments. A few times ago when I spoke, I told you I was going through a rough time. There was all sorts of doubts going through my mind, all sorts. Thankfully, we pulled ourselves through that, and you know, that's in the rearview mirror and I'm moving forward. And it doesn't like mean we're immune to this stuff. But what am I doing with it? Am I fighting it? Or I continue to go down the road that's attributing to my doubts, attributing to my unbelief. Like, what am I doing with it? You know, that's a bad taste. All those circumstances, all those things we say just create a bad taste in our mouth for the Lord. And far too many people have gotten to that point where it's just like, well, what's the point? And it's sad. It's sad. And then the point would be, we know the truth, so maybe we can share the truth, right? That's what we're here to do. Whether or not it's received, we can still share truth. We can still plant a seed. We can still pray for growth and people to come along these people's paths, to minister to them, to help them, right? Because that's what we're here to do. But if I'm in total doubt and unbelief, great example. So God starts revealing things to me. I'm coming out of that old lifestyle. I want to do things. I'm ready. I'm fired up. I want to go. I want to start doing something. And the Lord says, well, you're not usable right now. Ah, man. Because I had nothing in me. I had nothing in me that if you came up to me for some counsel or whatever, there was nothing in me that was going to help you. Now, I could have taken that and said, whatever, gone back to my own life, see, this stuff doesn't work. But no, God had to be truthful with me. Make yourself usable and watch what I can do with you. And so I took the challenge. And he's faithful. Now, that taste in our mouth, so we can go back through these previous verses. Is that taste that of I am blessed? He answers and delivers me. He hears me and saves me from all. Because twice in there it says from all. Not some, all. Do we believe that we are the head and not the tail? Do I believe that I can do all things through Christ? Do I believe that? I can be anxious for nothing. It's in there. It's in there. Philippians 4. Read the whole chapter. It's great. Do I believe? I didn't believe I could be anxious for nothing, but through seeking and growth, I started to understand that, yes, I can be anxious for nothing. And I started applying it to my life. And it's amazing how anxiety disappeared. Anxiety wants to come back on me, but now I have something to go to. No, I'm anxious for nothing, so sorry, not today. Right? Your mercies are new every morning. Well, I think God's mad at me, so I'm just going to lay low for a while. I'll go to him when I build up the courage again. You know. Lamentations 3. So Lamentations, Jeremiah wrote Lamentations, and it's lamenting over Judah. It's lamenting. He's pouring out his soul and just saying, oh, Judah, you who are beloved by God, and now it's just a wasteland. Right? Totally destroyed. Everybody removed. The temple tore down to nothing. And that's what that whole book is about. But in that book, Lamentations 3, 22 through 24. Once again, in the midst of trouble, we hear this. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. Put that in your heart. Put this 3 verses in your heart, and you'll have some ammunition. Nope, I don't care what comes, because the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. I don't care how hard it gets, because his mercies are new every morning. I don't have to doubt, because great is your faithfulness. And I will put my hope in you. What else are we going to put our hope in? This world? Government? Yuck. It's very sad. It is sad. But just because we're experiencing troubles in the world doesn't mean we have to look like the world, act like the world. We can still have hope. So the challenge is to taste and see that he is good, and this is what I'm going to close with. So this, I was writing this out, and this is what the Lord said to me. It says, he said, try me, I dare you. No matter where you are in your walk, new Christian, old Christian, somewhere in between, no matter where you are, I am not finished. There is more. Taste and see. So, that's the challenge, taste and see. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you are so good. And Lord, I just pray for revelation for each and every one of us here to understand that. I thank you that you give us the ability to grow. You give us the ability to seek you out. And you are faithful. You are faithful. And I just pray as we go out this week, Father, I just speak blessing and safety over everyone here. And I just pray for opportunities, Lord, to share your goodness and to share your love with others. And we just praise you and thank you for all this. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Well, as usual, there's fun stuff downstairs. If anybody wants prayer, I'll be up here for a little bit. Otherwise, have a fantastic week, and we'll see you next week.